This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Snap to Brock. Brock going to throw left for the end zone. It's caught by George Kittle. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Friday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Absolutely jam-packed today. Inside the Star is Zeke Elliott, disgruntled. Dallas Stars opener, baseball playoffs. Mike McCarthy live at 6:30 this morning. We'll have the junk drawer. We'll pick the game at 8 o'clock. Replay of McCarthy at 8:40 in case you miss it. And Nick Eatman at 9:20 to preview the Detroit Lions. I thought it was happening again. I switch away. San Fran easily handling Seattle. I go over to the baseball. Going to see if the Yankees can go ahead and close out the Kansas City Royals. And then all of a sudden, I switch back and we got a close game. Is San Francisco going to blow things again like they had done the previous weeks? No, it did not happen. George Kittle, a clinching touchdown, and they win in Seattle 36-24 Niners.
You know, it did feel just like two different weight classes were playing, to me at least. You know, like Seattle's a good team, but you know, when San Fran is playing at their peak, which at parts of this game they did, but when they are playing at their peak, they're just in a different weight class from a lot of other teams. And that's why there's probably not a whole lot of panic going on in San Fran over the start that they've had to their season, even though they have dropped some games. I mean, they should really be 5-1 when you think about it.
Purdy with three touchdown passes, 18-28. The QBR was a 90.4, and they just continue. The Shanahan family continues to make you feel sick about your own running back situation as Jordan Mason gets hurt. After averaging 8 a carry, 9-73, they turn, Bobby, to help me,
Isaac Garendo.
Garendo.
Oh, you should feel really good about that one, because that is who the Dallas Cowboys were, what are the guys they were really high on, and that is who your Trey Lance pick was used on, was Isaac Garendo.
No.
Yep. That's why you didn't get a chance to draft him, was because they used that draft
sexy
pick on him.
Well done, Peyton. He goes on to just average 9.9 a carry. So 10 for 99. San Fran runs for 228. Debo, 3 for 102. Kittle, 5 for 58, and two touchdowns. So a night of huge plays and huge production for the San Fran offense.
Yep, you just don't have to. I mean, it's weird. Like, San Fran and Kansas City have shown that just, like, invested in the running backs for them, it doesn't mean anything. Because, you know, Pacheco is, like, what, a seventh? And then San Fran is just even though San Fran did invest, right? Yeah. Big money with McCaffrey and compensation to Carolina. But they're also pulling the old Olandis Gary out of the hat here.
Oh, yeah.
And just rolling out another 1,000-yard rusher if they want to.
This is I don't know. Maybe we've overthought San Francisco at times so far. They're 3-3. They have been pretty much the best team in every game they've played. There's really not a game. If you look at it right now, they are second in the NFL in yard differential. They are seventh in point differential. And I mean, it's not like you talk about they're holding the ball. Their time of possession per drive is the highest in the NFL. Yeah. They're allowing the third fewest time of possession on the defensive side per drive. And they're 300 yards more passing than their opponents, 300 yards more rushing than their opponents. They've been pretty much better in the stat sheet every single game. They just have crumbled late in some of these games.
The Minnesota loss was the one where they were truly beat, you know, start to finish. They were never really in control of that game. They were in control of the Rams game, and they were in control of the Arizona game. Miscues, red zone turnovers. Red zone turnovers are a great way for the better team to lose. It's a great upset special.
Well, they think that they're about to get on a roll. The schedule may say otherwise. I'm looking at the next five. Kansas City, Dallas, at Tampa, Seattle again, at Green Bay, Buffalo. So that's actually the next six.
Yeah, and Buffalo is going to be in December in Buffalo. Right, that's the first week of December. So I mean,
those six are on the road,
But they got Dallas in there, so that'll give them a nice little reset, allow them to you know get themselves prepared. But yeah, Chop's right. Really, it's just Minnesota. Other than Minnesota, just kind of dominating them. Which again, throughout the stat sheet, most of the game, San Francisco was better. It's just you allowed a couple big plays and you turned the ball over, and that was the big difference.
Yeah, I mean that. It was the 97-yard touchdown was wound up being the difference in the game. The 97-yard touchdown to Jefferson.
Let's get to the opener that happened on ice.
Thomas Harley gets it into the corner. Marchman has it. Wrist shot. Score! He's got a pair. Mason Marchman, a sneaky wrister, past Wedgwood, and it's 4-1 Dallas.
This was a crazy. Did everyone figure out how to watch this, by the way? Bobby had texted us earlier that y'all get Victory Plus, ends up on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I was wrong. That Victory Plus is where you're going to need to watch it when it's not national. So because it was national and it was an ESPN game, there was no need.
Yeah, you know, ESPN Plus, with they've got a really good NHL package. You might be able to get a lion's share of the Stars games on ESPN Plus.
This was a crazy second period. The Stars scored four times. They scored three goals on consecutive shots to hold off Nashville. Marchman scored two goals in the win. Hintz, Robertson also on the board. Stankassen had three assists, and they hold off the Preds on the road. Nice win to start off the year. They get the W 4-3.
Very nice win. You know, really opened up in the second period. First period, you could tell both teams were trying to just figure out, hey, what is this? What are we doing again?
How do we hockey?
Well, that's first game of the year. How do we do this? No. You could tell. But second period, man, they all came out. And you flip this over in the second period, and you go to the football game, and you got to go back and go, whoa, 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 what happened here? I mean, I missed a lot. You got to go back and check it all out.
I'll tell you, and first off, Seve had mentioned, he said the Predators were the team that that's one of the teams that he was looking out for and was like concerned with, that was going to be a good team this year. So that was a good victory on the road. I'll tell you what I noticed opening Victory Plus yesterday that I didn't realize. This is truly a regional sports network they're building. Did you guys, had I been the only one to miss the fact that the Anaheim Ducks are going to be on there too? And so we can't get it locally, but when you open it up, there's a ton of, like, there's a whole subsection of Anaheim Ducks content.
Oh, really?
And so the Ducks are now available regionally on Victory Plus if you're in Anaheim. And so they're really trying to build it out as, like, a platform where, you know, teams from different markets can come on here and join it. And it's kind of, I guess, the Stars' creation, but other markets are going to be getting in on it.
I had no idea about that. It's cool, though. They named it something that is unique to us. But people outside of DM would have no idea.
Yeah.
They would have no idea what Victory means that has anything to do with the Stars.
In addition to the football, the hockey, we had this.
A high fly to center. This is it. Judge is there. He makes the catch. Ball game over. American League Division Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
What a call by Bob Costas. Listen to that. That's good.
Listen to John Sterling than Bob Costas. Costas is so bad.
So bad.
I was texting Goldberg yesterday, and I'm like, this is terrible. And
wrestler?
He's like, these guys are getting ready to clinch. What the hell is he talking about? It just, I've thought about this while growing up. I'm like, all right, do I have a play-by-play voice? Do I have a play-by-play delivery? I decided no. And Bob Costas just does not have a play-by-play delivery. Anyway, Yankees finish off the Royals 3-1 in Kansas City, and the Guardians and Tigers are going to 5. Cleveland wins 5-4.
Yeah, and they get a big home run from David Fry to put them up. They were down one, put them up in the 7th inning, and then the Cleveland bullpen nails it down. And for New York, it was simple. You just give Garrett Cole the ball and said go. And he only had 4 strikeouts, so he was like kind of more nickel and diming them around. Kept his pitch count low, and now like it sets up for he's right. He could go game one of the ALCS, and Scooble, the Tigers have to use him tomorrow night in game 5. So the pitching matchups don't set up really, really terrifically for Detroit. Cleveland's going to have to use, you know, they've already used their guy, but they can come back. But it was, I mean, you know, the Yankees just were, they were better. You could tell, like, they were all close games, but you could tell like they had figured out how to win before.
Does it make sense that this Dallas Cowboy is dumbfounded with the way that he's being used right before the Lions game? Inside the Star, then Mike McCarthy for the 6 a.m. Club. Glad you're waking up with us to start the weekend on Sean and RJ.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Is Zeke Elliott dumbfounded? And if so, should he be? Mike McCarthy is coming up live at 6:30 this morning here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm Sean Treve alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Let's get to the injury report first. Deron Bland did return to practice. Bland didn't say if he would be playing for sure on Sunday. Quote, "I feel pretty good as far as coming back. Time will tell. We are going to see."
He's going to play. He'll play. He won't play I wouldn't imagine he's out there for 60 snaps or anything like that, but he'll be in there in probably 20 to 25 plays would be my guess. And so, no, he'll be back. He'll be ready to go. same sort of thing with Carson. All signs are pointing to Carson being back. So secondary's finally reaching their point of full strength again. Just as the front seven's been having their issues with injuries and guys falling down, the secondary at least is getting healthy again, and Bland should be back out there.
You're worried about Eric Kendricks.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing. I think you're going to be without Eric Kendricks.
You wrote last night something that jumped out. You said he's been their most consistent defensive player this year.
Yeah, in terms of just being a steady, reliable individual. Now, he had, I'm trying to remember which game was, Baltimore, I think. He was a little slow on some of the reads. But outside of that, he's been every week a difference maker. Pittsburgh and the Giants games, those two games, he was great. And the Cleveland game early on, he was great. And so to me, that's been the most reliable defender they've had. He's been helping out a lot of guys on the second level. And he wears the green dot. He is the communication guy. So if he's out, who wears the green dot? Well, typically, when he's had to step out, they've done that with Nick Vigil. Nick Vigil is also a DNP at practice this week. So in terms of communication and some of the ways that they're supposed to be able to get plays in and communicate those things, that's all going to be different this week, potentially, against a Detroit team that likes to stress you a little bit.
Yeah, this might not be the team where you have communication changes with, you know, like you said, with the green dot or even with any kind of linebacker play. That's just this is not the team you want to have to go to backups on.
McCarthy will probably backhand the question, but maybe we ask him the communication with the green dot. How much is getting the play call in and relaying it versus after you're lined up, the communication?
Pretty dramatic there, Nick.
Is it the same with the offense? Like the offense gets shut off at like 15 seconds on the play clock?
Yeah.
Is that the same with the defense?
I don't know. I would imagine it's similar rules. There's not going to be the same sort of advantages that there is with the offense doing that.
Let's figure out this Zeke story. To me, it's a little bit murky. The headline yesterday is Ezekiel Elliott is dumbfounded by his limited role. And I went to find the video. I went to find the actual quote. And I'm not seeing Zeke actually use the word dumbfounded. Clarence Hill is the one reporting it. Bobby, what do you make of all this?
I make that was Clarence's interpretation of how...
Does Clarence sometimes interpret?
Yeah, and I love Clarence, but Clarence, to be fair, Clarence didn't put it in quotes or anything. He didn't say, like, dumbfounded and put quotes around it. He was describing what he felt like his demeanor was, but...
Here's the exact tweet. Zeke confirmed he has talked to the coaches about his role and remains dumbfounded by his lack of opportunities, at least as red zone back.
So that's the tough part, is that he said he confirmed that he spoke to coaches and remains dumbfounded. So the interpretation comes with dumbfounded, but it sounds as if he's saying he confirms he's dumbfounded by it. And that wasn't exactly where it went. He's frustrated, I think. Yeah. I think you can see that in his body language when he talks about it. But all of the words that he's using are the right words. It's the stuff that you would expect him to say. But he did say, yeah, I've talked to the coaches about it a little bit. He said, but just right now, kind of, you know, biding my time, waiting for my opportunity, and we'll wait for it.
To even insinuate that you're curious as to why you're not being used more is like an aging pitcher with a 6.5 ERA going, why are you moving me to the bullpen? What did I do wrong?
But is it like that, or is it like the pitcher with a 6 of the ERA on another team gets signed by you for $3 million and then you're not used whatsoever?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know the immediate instant reaction is, what are you asking that for? You're washed. You're done. We've been saying that here in DFW before they even let you go the first time. But then you may go to the follow-up of, well, why did y'all even bring him back?
Yeah, you brought him here for a reason.
Locker room.
I mean, honestly, I think Monday through Saturday is part of it. Just the way that he practices and the juice that he brings and the way that he is, you know, a good example for practice habits and things like that. I think that's part of the benefit they thought they'd get. But
a career low 3.3 yards per carry, 98 yards on 30 touts. He's also caught just 6 passes for 36 yards.
He averaged 108 yards per game as a rookie. He's got 98 yards through the first 5 games of the season.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to just remember off the top of my head the 3rd-and-1, the 4th-and-1s where I'm like, why isn't Zeke in? I also don't remember a ton of them not succeeding in converting to where I was mad and typed in my notes, why wasn't Zeke in there?
There was a 3rd-and-1 last week against Pittsburgh that was like, okay, this is a spot to use Zeke.
And they threw it, and that's when you got the grounding from Dak.
Right. And it was like, okay, that's a spot to use Zeke in, you know, 3rd-and-1. Look, red zone. Red zone's a great spot to run the football. You know, the conventional wisdom is, you get down inside the 20, and some guys like to throw it still. But there's limited space. You know, wide receivers, a lot of times, if you don't have a jump ball guy, they need space. Inside the red zone for this team is a great spot to run the ball. They don't have anyone to do that. I mean, it's not like they don't want to. They just don't have it.
Zeke usage or no Dalvin more dumbfounding?
Dalvin's got to be
no Dalvin.
Got to be what?
Buns, as the kids would say.
What does that mean?
Buns, bad.
Butt, booty, butt, cheeks.
Yeah.
He's cheeks. As LeSean McCoy says, ass. That's what it is. But the Dalvin thing is stranger to me because at least Zeke is getting used to some extent. Dalvin, they're just like, nope, we don't even want you dressing up in a Russell Wilson style jersey where you're not even going to be used. But I had to look it up on 3rd-and-4th-and-2 or shorter. Zeke has 2 of the team's 10 carries this year, which, by the way, on all 10 carries that they've had this year, whether it's Dak, Lipke, Dowdle, or Elliott, they've converted every 3rd or 4th-and-2 and shorter. They've converted every single run attempt. And so they've had success with that.
All right, so there is a little Inside the Star before the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, joins us live to get you set for the Lions rematch. You can only get it right here next with Sean and RJ. It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys, every single Friday here with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Cowboys, Lions, Sunday, right here on DFW Sports Station. We're giving away tickets to this thing and merchandise courtesy of Miller Lite. You can join the KNC Masterpiece from 10 to 2 at Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisville, right off the 35 Frontage Road. Let's bring in Coach right here on DFW Sports Station. Good morning, Mike. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Good morning, gentlemen.
Thank you for joining us, as always. What a tough, gritty road win. How happy were you with your team coming off last week in the elements without a couple of big-time players? What does that say about your football team, Coach, heading into another gritty one against Detroit?
I felt they had a good week. When you have injuries in youth and you just have some moving parts, and then to go up there and, you know, with the delay and so forth, just very impressed with the whole football operation there. And I thought the players just did a great job staying after it. We knew we were going to have to grind it out to get that win. And I thought they did an excellent job with that.
Coach, without giving away too much, obviously, what are the major changes, if any, that Mike Zimmer has done with this defense with the way that they've recovered over the past few weeks?
I think the biggest thing is you're seeing it come together. I mean, when you look at our football team, you know, it changes every year, the dynamics of your roster and so forth. And, you know, and anytime you're dealing with, you know, newness, there's a level of transition that you have to go through. And I just think you're seeing the defense is getting connected more and more each week. And then with the challenge of the injuries, there's just more work to do. But I just think you're seeing the confidence and the connection is improving, and our guys are doing a good job staying after it.
Coach, I want to ask you just a general football question based upon the 4th-down game winner against the Steelers. When teams call timeouts back and forth on each other to get a look, right? Like Pittsburgh wants to see how you're lined up for your play. How often does that change what you do? Or you want to see how they're lined up? What's the give and take there with the information on those situations, and how much it completely alters things when teams are calling those timeouts to get a look?
I mean, the reality of it gives you the opportunity to change your call. We call it a Kodak moment. So if we're on defense and we wait till the offensive lines just to, you know, just to see a what, you know, formation they're thinking. And also there's a, you know, a gamesmanship to it where you're, you know, trying to get him to maybe go to his next call, you know. So, and then offensively, you know, you have a call and then it gets down to, you know, maybe they run the person, you know, they may change the personnel late. So you may not have the, you know, the particular matchup or, you know, the pre-snap look's not really what you want. So then you'd call the time on offense. So it's really a Kodak moment, just to just, you know, you're trying to win the, you're getting information out of the pre-snap process.
Mike McCarthy, join us here at 105 through the Fan. It's hard to keep a team together in this league. Detroit is as personnel-wise as close to being the same team as they were last year. How much different do they look on tape? Do they look like they're as good as same kind of magic, or are they look different on tape?
I think so far this year, though, I mean, they're playing at a high level of efficiency. The numbers point to that, but so does the video, and that's what you're really always striving for, just to get that connection, that continuity, and you can see it in their pace of play, you know, through the pre-snap. Substitutions clearly and what they're trying to do. Also, you can see that the volume of their scheme is high. So, you know, that comes, you know, as a coaching staff, when you feel like, you know, you do have the connective components in place that you can do more with your players and, you know, and also keep the same level of efficiency. So, you know, so far it looks like they have that.
Last year was a much lower scoring game than I think a lot of us thought it was going to be the way those two offenses were rolling. But so I think it surprised a lot of people. Do you see another low scoring type game or do you think this thing opens up a little bit more?
Well, I think that's why you play the game. You know, I think the capability of being high scoring is definitely there. If you look at the, you know, the offensive makeups, but also you got to look at the way the defenses are playing and what's going on there too. And, you know, and I think that, you know, the special teams, I know it's an indoor, so I don't think the return game will be, you know, there won't be a lot of reps there. But, you know, you got to make sure that, you know, the special teams doesn't factor either in the field position. But, yeah, I think there's potentially there's any time two offenses that come together and you're playing indoors, it definitely has that opportunity.
Mike McCarthy every Friday with us here on 105.3 The Fan. And speaking of scoring coach, we're going to be rats here, or we're going to rat out some of the guests we've had on this week. Oh, yeah. At least three different Lions people have told us that they expect Dan Campbell to, like, throw back to an offensive lineman or do some type of trickery to avenge last year. So you can dismiss it. You can flush it, Coach. But if it happens, we would like credit in the post game by name specifically.
Well, I really appreciate you guys stepping up your game in preparation because Lord knows you guys needed to. So
is that our trick plays? Is that something? I mean, obviously you're prepared for them throughout the season, but like, is that something that you look at each team individually? Like, hey, you got to be more on your toes with this game, or you're just always prepped?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everybody has a history, you know, and now that Ben's been calling it, you know, which is his third year, so you know he's starting to. You know, there's definitely a book being built, you know, on him. And but, you know, I think the biggest thing is, too, you look at the history of each coordinator, you know, especially Dan, you know, as a head coach. You know, and I think the toughest one is, and really the one they, you know, attempted last year is a tough one. When you have multiple linemen come into the game, that's, you know, that's a different level of, you know, awareness that you have to have. So, you know, they definitely do stress you there in the area of deceptives.
Coach, there is a lot of hype over their coordinator, Ben Johnson, with head coach possibilities last offseason. What do you see in a Ben Johnson offense that makes it unique or really hard to defend?
I think, number one, you know, he has the offensive line and the perimeter pieces, and he's got an excellent quarterback to, you know, to run the whole book. I think the biggest thing is, as a coordinator, we all have menus, but when you can live, you know, in a full speed, wide open approach, week in and week out, that's where you want to be, and he definitely has that. But he has a really good, you know, combination of a diverse run game and a diverse passing game. So there's always a, you know, flair deceptive to it, but does a really good job with the formation utilization, you know, the shifts and motions, and you know he does a nice job attacking your force elements in the run game, you know, and particularly the C gap area. So. Yeah, it's a well-coordinated offense.
Coach, you know, you're going up against Jared Goff this weekend. He was somebody who felt like a couple of years ago some people were kind of writing off as like, all right, you know what? He's not going to be the quarterback we thought he would be. But then he's had a lot of success in Detroit. And we've seen, you know, Geno Smith last night in Seattle, a guy who's had a lot of success after kind of being written off, or Baker Mayfield, just other guys across the league. As a general philosophy question within the league right now, do you think that the NFL's learning a little bit, like, hey, we can't write the quarterback position off so quickly? Like, some of these guys do need to take more time to develop.
Absolutely. No, I think the answer's in your question. I mean, it's clearly been going on, I know, in my whole time. There's a lot of high draft picks in the early days. If there's a little more patience and, you know, we're given a second, third chance, that would have had great careers. And I think that, you know, where you go as a quarterback is important. And quarterbacks only get better in this league, you know, because of, you know, the reps. I think that the 1,300 pass attempts for a quarterback coming out of college is a pretty good indicator of the level of experience that you're dealing with once you get a young man coming out of college. And I think the same thing goes to pro football. You just need to get attempts. And, you know, for these second and third string quarterbacks, I mean, that's why I wish they'd have mandatory fourth quarterback in every organization. It'd only make our game better. But they need trips to the plate. They need to be part of the quarterback school. They need that off-season program. They need the training camp reps, you know, the post-practice reps and all those, because there's so much value in that. These quarterbacks are only going to get better the more time that they can spend in an offense, in the classroom, you know, with the defensive challenges, understanding the trends, everything that goes on in the National Football League. Protection is a huge part of being successful as a quarterback, you know, having the proper tools and adjustments to win at the line of scrimmage and utilize that opportunity to, you know, take advantage of a one-on-one and so forth. I mean, that's not something you can just do in one offseason or a couple offseasons. So, yeah, definitely. I think quarterbacks just need to stay alive because they're only going to get better.
Was that part of the thought process for you guys, I guess, too, with when you brought Trey Lance in, is, hey, like, let's take a guy who obviously had a great skill set. Let's invest in helping him come along more at a pace that allows those talents to flourish.
No, absolutely. I mean, because Trey has everything you're looking for. And on top of it, he's a, you know, high-quality young man. I mean, this guy's got tremendous work ethic. He's got you know, excellent, you know, skill set. He's got the physical traits. But he's an example of what I'm talking about. He just needs reps. And, you know, and he's in an excellent, excellent quarterback room with Dak and Cooper and, you know, the young coaches we have in there. So, I mean, it's a great example. And, you know, he's going to play. He's going to start in this league someday. I truly believe that. But, you know, he needs to just keep working towards that.
Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. That was the best y'all had run the ball, looks like that, at any point this year. Was the O-line just better in this game, or was Rico seeing things a little bit differently and hitting the right holes?
Well, I think it's all just a combination of things. I think the other thing, too, is, you know, the third down percentage is part of that equation, too. You know, we were getting more trips to the plate and attempts and so forth. I mean, it's hard to be effective running the ball when you only run it, you know, 12, 15 times a game. So the ability to get up, you know, over the 30 attempt threshold is important. When you're running the ball 30 plus times in a game, I don't know if I've ever not been happy with the outcome. So, because, you know, the run game's tied to the protection and the action pass game, all those things are tied together.
Coach, Tyler Smith having to step in and play left tackle last week when Tyler Guyton had gone down, looked to do an admirable job of it. Was that just a completely fresh experience for him in terms of something he hadn't done since the last time he played left tackle? Or do you guys practice those reps occasionally with him, like, hey, in an emergency situation, you may need to slide over there?
Well, I think the job he did was, you know, was outstanding for him to jump out there and play that, you know, because that's obviously a premier position to play, and to do it with, you know, not a whole lot of work is super impressive. But, you know, he's a true pro. I mean, he's on top of it, you know, just from a preparation standpoint. But, you know, we don't give him too many reps out there because obviously Tyler Guyton is, you know, he's a young player. He needs every rep he can get. So all of our young players do. But for him to go out there and, you know, as far as the physical reps that he's had, was definitely impressive.
Coach, Clarence Hill yesterday reported that Zeke was dumbfounded by his lack of opportunities, at least as a red zone back. How frustrated is Zeke, and what can you say about his lack of usage or just usage rate so far this year?
Well, just, you know, sitting down with Zeke and Rico and, you know, just making sure that communication was clear a few weeks back. I mean, we're gonna roll these guys through. You know, production will be, you know, part of the evaluation. But, you know, there's definitely a conversation about Zeke and short yards and goal line. I think that's clearly a strength of his. But I feel that the communication has been clear to how we're utilizing all of our players.
Coach, Eric Kendricks hasn't practiced the first 2 days of this week. He's obviously been a big piece for you guys on the football field. How is he trending? And if he can't go, what are kind of your contingency plans for the green dot and the communication?
Well, I mean, we got guys, obviously, Damone and Nick, you know, they primarily work as the, you know, the next guys up in the green dot. You know, Maris has been working in there too. So, I mean, you always have to have multiple. Malik Hooker has done it for us in the past too. So Malik works the green dot. So you're always working multiple green dots through your process. So, you know, that's really part of our normal, you know, weekly, you know, preparation.
Coach, just general football question again. Is it with the green dot communication, the relaying of the play that's more of a challenge, or adjusting things after you're lined up for that defensive player communicating?
Oh, the adjustment, yeah. I mean, the communication is pretty clear because, you know, also there's other means of communicating that you can get done, you know, by position, you know, with the coaches. So there is a means and method to you know, facilitate that. But it's really, you know, getting the front set and the adjustment part of it is the most critical part of it. I mean, he's pretty much the quarterback out there for defense.
So I know, like, the quarterback's helmet shuts off with, like, you know, X amount of time on the play clock. Is it the same for the defensive player that's got the green dot? And like, are you there the entire time with Dak in his head?
You know, that's a great question. I've never used the green dot on the defensive side, but obviously the offensive one goes off at 15 seconds. I would think that they are both the same.
Coach, Jalen Tolbert stepped up in a big way for you guys. You know, how happy have you been with his development and the way he's been able to take advantage of some of these opportunities?
Oh, very happy with Jalen. He's, you know, he's the guy that runs the furthest every day in practice, you know, as far as, you know, workload capacity and things like that. So just to see a young man put so much into it, you know, year round, you know, it's everything that he achieves, he's definitely earned. So just very happy for, A, seeing him getting more opportunities and most importantly, what he's doing with them. So I thought he played really well against Pittsburgh, did some really good things, which was probably in line to be a game ball winner. But it's good to see him have success.
Well, speaking of game ball then, I guess, can we assume his testicles are okay?
Yeah, he practiced. He's been a full participant in practice, so he's fine.
Coach, last one. With the possibility of Deron Bland returning, I was wondering if you remembered my Deron Bland scouting report in training camp when we sat down, how impressed you were with my observations of him as a player. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was a premier moment in our relationship.
Peyton, let's see if you remember how astonished Coach was.
It looks like Bland has had a hell of a start.
Why'd you go out on a limb here? Oh.
Yep. That was it. We'll leave it at that, Coach. Thank you so much.
Premier.
Thank you, Coach. Great stuff as always. Good luck Sunday.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike McCarthy brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. I was just saying he had a good camp. That's all.
He did. He had a very good camp.
Saying he had a good camp.
He was so impressed by it, actually, even like 3 minutes later in that interview, he circled back to, but yeah, that was a great observation by you, Sean, on Deron Bland. Great evaluation there.
Dak Prescott was not too thrilled, apparently, yesterday over all the TMZ and media coverage over his home getting demolished. It looks like he's rebuilding the same exact land that he's been on, had the football field, but all the overhead shots and, you know, the demolition that took place to the home. And Dak yesterday, along with Nick Harris, I don't know if we're going to be able to hear this, but Nick Harris followed up with a question that got Dak out of his mood.
think it's crazy the coverage that it got. Being frank, you know, trying to keep my personal life, build a home or a place or have a property that, you know, I'm about to raise a daughter and a family there, that I truly don't appreciate the drones, the extra videos, and honestly the conversation of it. I'm super blessed to be able to at this point build what I want. So enough said.
The landscape is different from the last time y'all played the Lions. So when do you get out of watching the game?
I'm about to say. So you're testing me. That was nice. One more time, you gotta ask it again. Now
the players are different.
Yeah. For sure.
So what do you get out of watching the game?
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
The DC hasn't changed.
You get a chop.
Was he said? Did he say the landscaping was different?
The landscape.
Okay, I get it. That's clever.
The landscape. Dak loved that.
He did. He gave him a wink. He gave him a wink and then a fist bump.
Yeah.
And so he was a fan of it.
So the invasion of privacy is basically what he's trying to get at. I guess a couple of neighbors tipped off TMZ or the media and took photos and videos that the demolition project was happening. Now,
that's awful.
In that same sentence, it looked like Dude Perfect was out there helping. So
he may have an exclusive contract with Dude Perfect on video footage. So that may have killed the contract.
But my follow up is, if you're doing something with Dude Perfect in a production type element, are you publicizing it yourself?
Yeah,
the only thing that throws a wrench in it for me. I'm all for privacy. I think it's way, way too easy to find out where celebrities live. Look at the Dan Campbell story, forcing him to sell his home. And yes, I am sensitive to Dak talking about raising his family and his daughter, and everyone knows where I live. That's not cool. But are you getting ready to release it in a video project with Dude Perfect?
Well, yeah. I mean, that would be controlling you're controlling the message. From Dak's perspective, right? So if Dak has his own...
But it's still kind of like putting a focus on my house and leading to people being like, oh, where do you live?
Listen, if you fly, if you're landing from the north at DFW or Love Field and you fly over the house, it's not hard to figure out whose house it is because it says Dak on the middle of the field.
Well,
it's not hard.
Here's the only thing. So have either of you ever heard of Trevor Rainbolt?
No.
Trevor Rainbolt is one of a ton of people out there who play Google Maps, like this geotagging game where you show them just like a tree and say, where is this?
Oh, yeah,
and he will find exactly where that is based on, oh, that tree looks like this or this looks like this. This is a very wide shot or a very big aerial shot where you can see enough identify factors that anybody who does that can probably then quickly figure out, I know where Dak Prescott lives now.
Yeah.
More than just whatever his field says. So I'm guessing maybe that's his issue, is how wide the shot is, or he's annoyed by, I thought that we lived in a neighborhood where people would keep these things close. He may be more annoyed with his neighbors of just like, what are you doing exposing my family and talking
to
me?
If you live in that neighborhood, you are among the wealthiest of the wealthy. What are you being a fanboy for? Fanboys for us regular people.
Yeah.
That's people who live in those houses, they're not fanboys. Come on now.
What do you need TMZ's $5,000 finder's fee for?
And people are saying on the Franklin injury attorney's fan text that the Dude Perfect guy lives right behind him. Ty Tony lives right behind him or in that neighborhood.
Right, so now we know where two celebrities live.
There you go.
Flagtober rolls on today, as well as your chance to win those Cowboys Lions tickets and Cowboys merch courtesy of Miller Lite, the KMC masterpiece 10-2 at Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisville, right off the 35 Frontage Road. You can swing by and grab a one-of-a-kind flag and your chance to win those tickets and swag.
I'll be there too. I got to get my book stamped, my little Lucy Buffalo Wild Wings appearance book. I've gone to their last three.
Wow.
So I might as well go to the fourth and get the book stamped. Right. It's right on the ride home too. So.
And you got a solo weekend.
Yeah, I do. She's leaving here in 8 minutes. She's taking off for a llama ranch.
I texted Bobby after you had a possible Stars hookup for tomorrow night. And I'm like, what are you thinking about the Stars game? And he's like, I didn't realize or forgot that my wife is taking the girls out of town. I'm just like, just forgot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he would have to talk to his family.
Yeah.
to know their play.
Ask AI what they're doing.
No, I've got a whole family calendar app that has fixed all those things. She didn't have it in the calendar at the time, was one. Two, she and her mom not exactly gotten along. I think I've read the text blow up to you guys off the air.
Oh, that, she do it as a segment.
So what I'm saying is that had... that meant communication was minimalized, and there was, I think, she forgot herself that because she had planned to go to a concert this Saturday and was like, wait, we're not going to be here.
Choppy gets you set for the Red River rivalry next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.